What a blessing to be here with you. This is going to be a prayer summit, but this morning we're just going to kind of take a little detour. We'll hone in tonight, perhaps more specifically on the topic at hand. But this morning, I want to encourage your heart. I want to talk to you about the ministry of refreshment. The ministry of refreshment. Rick Johnson, if I have ever encouraged him, he has encouraged me much more. And we have a relationship where we're so candid with each other. No holes barred. We just put it right out there. And what a blessing you are, brother. What an encouragement. What an example. And I just want to thank you for the opportunity to be here. My wife and I got invited out in Fairfax, Virginia, to the home of an Egyptian family back in December. We'd never been in the home of an Egyptian. You know, Egyptians, Pharaoh, Muslims. We didn't know what to expect. So we kind of went over there. And they had prepared 20 dishes, Egyptian and Lebanese, spent 3 days with just special dishes. We had such a good time. We laughed, we fellowshipped, we talked about real life issues. And when we left, I said to my wife, I said, when was the last time you can remember having such a good time in somebody else's home? It was tremendous. We were absolutely refreshed. So I want to talk to you this morning about the ministry of refreshment and give you a couple of scriptures here. Here's one in 1 Samuel. Notice what it says. It came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul, say that word out loud. Saul was what? Say it real out loud. Football cheer loud. Refreshed and was well. Now, you know, of all the analogies you could come up with him, the National Federation of Losers who won't salute the flag may not be the best choice at this particular time. No, I'm only kidding. I'm just kidding about that right there. Now, notice that he was refreshed by this ministry. Now, the word refresh here means to breathe deeply. It means to revive. It means to be enlarged. And Saul was refreshed by David's gift of music. He was refreshed. Notice this one right here. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, or however you say it, for he oft, say it out loud, refresh me. He often, continually refresh me. Now that word refresh means to cool off when you're hot. It means to relieve. Onesiphorus was like a glass of ice cold water or ice cold tea on a scorching hot day. He refreshed him often. Now look at this one in Corinthians. Therefore, we were comforted in your comfort, yea, and exceedingly the more joy we eat for the joy of Titus. Now say this out loud, because his spirit was refreshed by you. Now what does this mean? This word refresh means to give rest. The Corinthians brought comfort and rest to Titus. He was absolutely refreshed by these individuals. And then just one other in Romans, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God and may with you, say it out loud, be refreshed. Now the idea here is to be refreshed, to refresh oneself in company. There's a joint benefit. Paul knew that being in company with these people would mutually refresh them all. When I get around Rick and Paula, I'm just telling you, I don't know if they get anything, but at least I do. I mean, at least there's a refreshing going on. And, you know, we live in a world filled with agitators, aggravators, irritators, grumblers, mockers, whiners, critics, and scoffers. But the church should be a community of encouragement. So I want to talk to you this morning about the characteristic of a refresher, and I want to talk to you about the ministry of refreshment. Yes. Now, let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, would you encourage every heart? God, refresh every spirit that needs it, and God, send us out on mission, Lord, to refresh and encourage others. We give you praise in Christ's name. Amen. Now, I want to exhort you this morning to be an exhorter. I want to empower you to empower other people. And the first characteristic of a refresher I want to talk about is a positive attitude. A positive attitude. Spend your life focusing on what you love instead of what you hate. Focus on what you love instead of what you hate. An attitude is a learned tendency to evaluate things in a certain way. What is your attitude? A learned tendency to evaluate things in a certain way. You can cultivate a positive attitude. Now, go out of your way at church every day to say good morning. I mean, go out of your way to greet people, to be upbeat. Let your mouth overflow with grace. Don't be critical. Somebody said an optimist can find opportunity in every calamity. An optimist can find opportunity in every calamity, and a pessimist can find calamity in every opportunity. Now, refreshers are those who choose to look on the sunny side. They're positive people. They speak life. That's pointed encouragement based upon facts. I want to tell you, people with a positive attitude, they impart energy. They're not taker-outers, they're putter-inners. They don't drain you. They energize you. So be an energy giver, not an energy taker. A positive attitude. How many know that your spirit communicates as loudly as your words? I mean, I can get around people and they can say one thing, but I can tell you that what they're saying is not where they're at. I mean, it's just that way. Your very presence can empower people. Manly Beasley was a Baptist evangelist who was extremely ill. You talk about chronic illness. He had 21 unrelated terminal illnesses. Most people have one terminal illness, and that pretty well does it. But he had 21. He would keep getting healed, and then he'd come up with some other disease. He was in the hospital, terrible pain. Six Baptist preachers had flew in to encourage him. They couldn't help him. When all of a sudden, this homely, humble woman walked into the room, and it was Corrie Ten Boom. And Manly Beasley said that when she walked into the room, he said, I don't know whether that room went to heaven or whether heaven came to that room, but he said that when she walked in, the pain didn't subside, but his ability to cope with it did. And I'm just telling you, your influence. Attitude is a little thing that goes a long way. Attitude is a little thing that goes a long way. Your thoughts can lift people or depress people. What's in your mind will translate into an atmosphere. Whatever is going on in your mind will translate into an atmosphere. Your word, your thoughts give birth to words. And words are what? Nothing more than an overflow of the heart. And what you dwell on finds expression in your words. A kind word, somebody said, can reach a wound that only compassion can heal. A kind word can reach a wound that only compassion can heal. And constructive speech comes out of a happy heart. Now, refreshers intentionally attempt to connect with people. They're the ones that sit, that listen, that talk. They're the ones that will go to visit the widows and the shut-ins and all the rest. Now, a positive attitude is contagious. Now, I'll tell you, negative attitude is contagious. Watch that newscast. But a positive attitude is contagious. And Paul longed to be with the Roman Christians because he knew that everybody would be benefited. I like to go some places just because I like to get around the people I'm going to be with. Okay? And this is one of those places. You know, sometimes I go to other churches where I don't think much is going to happen. And I don't care if anything happens or not. I just like to be around those kind of people. And that's what Paul said, that he knew they would all be refreshed, a positive attitude. Notice number two, to be a refresher, you got to have genuine concern. Genuine concern. Paul said in Philippians, look not every man upon his own things, but also on the things of others. Now, that's a compassionate outlook. Now, compassion means to suffer together. Passion means to suffer. Calm is coming. You're suffering together. So to be compassionate means that you're just a fellow sufferer. You know, we're all saints. Say amen on that point. We're all sufferers. Don't say amen on that point. And we're all sinners. But now listen, empathetic. What does it mean? To be empathetic means that you sense what others are going through from experience, or you place yourself in their shoes. I'll tell you what empathy is. Empathy is me feeling your pain in my heart. Empathy is me feeling your pain in my heart. And compassion is simply entering into another's suffering with a desire to lessen their pain. Now, even animals can sense if you like them. I'm sure we have pet lovers here. And the things about pet lovers is they're oblivious to the bad breath their dogs have. I mean, they're oblivious to the dandruff that Head and Shoulders couldn't cure. They're oblivious to the borderline mange. I mean, they're just born. And you know, you go in the home and you know, they introduce their pets like they do their children. And I guess that's all right. But what I'm saying is, After you ignore those pets for about 15 minutes, they get the idea you're not interested. And if animals can tell if you like them, people can also. Listen, the greatest gift you can give is your time and your concern. That's the greatest gift you can give. And I want to tell you, concern should drive us into action, not into depression. Concerns should drive us into action, not into depression. You know, Freddie Gage used to have a sermon called, "All My Friends Are Dead." I'm going to do one, "All My Friends Are Sick." So I've been calling up people. I say, "Listen, I just need to talk to somebody who's not dying and who has got the victory. And I just need to talk to somebody that's well. Do you have a few minutes?" I've been calling up people like that because most of the people I call up, or they call me, man, they got something serious going on. So I just like to find out what it's like to be normal. I know one such individual. I currently know one such individual. Now, listen, compassionate people are available when you need them. They're not in a hurry. And if you take a real interest in helping other people, you need to take a real interest in helping other people succeed. Don't rush out of church. That's a bad sign when they hit the door. Speak to everybody you can. Invite somebody into your home for a meal. Even in 2017. Yeah. Seek out those who visit your church and get to know them. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Help bear somebody else's load. Genuine concern. You want to be a refresher? Listen to this one. Be a good listener. Be a good listener. Rick Johnson is a good listener. And I'll tell you, there's no greater loan than a sympathetic ear. No greater loan than a sympathetic ear. Silence is often more beneficial than advice. How many know sometimes that people don't need advice? What they need is companionship. How do people feel after spending time with you? I mean, you ought to try to figure this out. How do they feel? Now, look, if you will listen to people, just listen, they'll appreciate you. I was at a pastor's office. He came to the prayer advance. Boy, he got charged up. 68-year-old guy. Oh, he got fired up. So I've been going up and praying with him. And I just sat there. And here's what he says, like every time. He said, "You know, thank you so much for listening to me. And you're so refreshing." And all I did was sit there and keep quiet. You know, Job's friends lost their ministry to Job the moment they opened their mouth. As long as they kept silent, they were helping him. Be a good listener. Now, give yourself completely to the people you're speaking with. Let them talk it out. Don't interrupt. If they stutter, don't try to predict what the next word or syllable is supposed to be. Make eye contact. Intentionally focus on the person at hand. And if you'll just sit there and listen without making commentary and begging clarification on every point, if all you'll do is sit there and pay attention and keep quiet and let them talk it through, they'll give you credit for having tremendous wisdom and helping them, and all you had to do was keep your mouth shut. That's true. That's exactly right. That's why they pay $150 to go to some shrink so they could spill their guts, and he just sat there daydreaming about his next cocaine fix or something. And they just talk it out. Is that right or wrong? I'll do it for $75. No, we do it for free. But anyhow, Just be a good listener. Now, don't gossip. I said, don't gossip. You don't refresh people by down-talking others. You don't refresh people like that. The Puritan said, "He that speaks a slander carries the devil in his tongue. He that speaks a slander carries the devil in his tongue. And he that receives a slander carries the devil in his ear." Anybody can find dirt in others. You be the one that looks for the gold. Be a good listener. Number four, to be a refresher, honest communication. Honest communication. Honest communication. Repeal and replace. I said honest communication. I said honest communication. My affordable health care is $500 a week. How's yours doing? Affordable. Affordable health care. Now, we're supposed to be on refreshing people instead of expressing disdain. So just disregard those last couple of sentences right there. All right. I said honest communication. Now, listen, a word spoken in season, how good it is. What a blessing. A compliment is verbal sunshine. Somebody said a pat on the back though only a few vertebrae removed from a kick in the pants, is miles ahead in results. Honest communication. What's in the well is going to come up in the bucket. You know, so let your yea be nay and your nay be nay. And here's for the millennial crowd. Say this out loud. Let your yea be yea. Let your nay be nay. Erase the words probably, maybe, I think so. Let your yea be yea, nay be nay. Just no extra charge for that point right there. Now, I won't go into detail other than this. I'm not going to go into it. Give me the mustache. Now, here. Say what you mean and mean what you say. Hey, what about this? Now, never give false praise. Be straightforward, non-wavering, direct communication. Don't speak in code. Well, I think he was trying to say. No, they ought to know what you're saying. Now, always be truthful. I have a friend, he got into a bad habit, unintentionally, ignorantly, of taking God's name in vain. He'd get excited, and he would say, bless G-O-D, exclamation point. And it wasn't like, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all this. It was not like that. It was like other people would use a curse word, bless G-O-D. So I thought, well, he's unaware of this, and nobody tells the truth, so I will. And we're friends. I said, hey, brother, I just got to talk to you. I said, you know, I've just noticed that you tend to say this, and this is probably really not good because it's using God's name as an expression of surprise, and really that's really not good. And I didn't jump him. I didn't climb his tree, but I laid her out. And he said, thank you for sharing that. Well, a deacon walked in and said, Brother Harold, just rebuke me. And I really didn't rebuke him, but I was trying to help him. But, you know, he appreciated that. How many of you know it's healthy sometimes to have a private conversation and just speak the truth in love? It is so rare to find anybody that'll be honest. Even if they're bringing you bad news, you appreciate the fact that at least they're trying to be honest. Now, honest communication. Now, sometimes you need to have a private conversation with people. You know, even in preaching. You know, we've now come to a point in America where in Baptist churches, we purged every ounce of conviction out on purpose. We purged it out. And it's couched in such a way that nobody would ever get into conviction about anything. But can I tell you something? That honest communication and honest preaching, even if it convicts us, is a wonderful thing. I was in a service at the Ladies' Prayer Advance. Pastor Alderman was speaking on counsel to a spiritual stray. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy commandments. And that word pierced my heart. It was honest communication. It brought conviction. But boy, I appreciated it. I like honest, straightforward communication. Now, how many of you know that your best friends ought to be the ones to tell you the truth? Eh? My wife likes to tell me the truth. Go ahead. Give me your favorite line. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding on that right there. Now, let me tell you about the people that you enjoy being with. People that you enjoy being with, they not only speak the truth to you, but they make you laugh. How many know that not everything is drop dead serious? Not everything is a life and death issue. And when you get around people like this who are honest, you know, they might say some straight things, but then the next thing you know, they're helping you laugh. I want to tell you that happiness is a commodity that is not diminished when shared. So be a Monday morning encourager. Write your pastor a note. Write Charlie Bleacher a note. Oh, Belcher. Just send him an email. Thanking them for how you were blessed by the message. Thank your Sunday school teacher. The songs, the choir was wonderful. If there's any praise, just give it. Be honest communication. Now, here's this one. If you want to have a ministry of refreshment, you got to have an obvious faith. An obvious faith. Pray prayers of faith. Don't pray prayers of doubt. It's not the prayer of doubt. It's the prayer of faith. Don't interrogate people who are sick or in crisis. Don't hand out statistics on probable survival efforts, you know. I got diagnosed with something, and a friend of mine emailed me and said, yeah, I said, my cousin got diagnosed with that, and he didn't last 2 years. Don't do that. Don't give your surefire health food remedy. Amen? Keep it to yourself. Now, look. People are already struggling, and they don't need interrogation. They need somebody to speak faith into their lives. And I want to tell you, your faith can inspire people. When faith is waning in one, we ought to utilize the person that happens to be in faith at that particular time. And then we flip off back and forth. Now, words of faith encourage people. Words of faith encourage people. Let me just tell you something. Jesus is coming back. Let me just tell you something. It don't make any difference what happens. We're on the winning side. No suffering is permanent on planet Earth. It's all temporary. It's all a season. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. You can refresh people by speaking faith in their lives. Jesus painted a mental photograph for Peter of his future when he said, upon this rock I'm going to build my church. But he gave him a mental photograph of his destiny and of his future. A word spoken in season, how good it is. Speak faith into people's lives. I had a pastor in Pennsylvania said this. He said, Harold, the conservative churches in our area are not the life-giving churches. The conservative churches in our area are not the life-giving churches. How many know there's room in Baptist churches for other than phlegmatic Republicans? Say amen on that point right there. How about a little life? How about a little joy? How about a little shout? How about a little Timberland dance? Psalm 150. Our ministry should impart life. Our words should impart life. We should breathe life into people as cold in the snow of harvest, and so as a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refresheth the soul of his masters. A faithful messenger will refresh people. You know, so much for this Spock religion. You know, most places I go, you think they're a bunch of Vulcans. And they would not expect. How many know white people have a hard time expressing themselves in spiritual things? Say amen on that part right there. How many know that? Just liven it up a little bit. Don't go as far as Charlie, but just liven it up a little bit. That ain't got anything to do with the message. Just obvious faith, all right? Obvious faith. What about this one? Be a generous giver. Oh, you want to refresh people? Be a generous giver. Charles Dickens said, no one is useless who lightens the burdens of another. More people fail for lack of encouragement than any other reason. People are starving for encouragement. Purpose to be a need maker. The Bible says of the Corinthian church that they were under a great trial of affliction, yet they had abundance of joy. They had deep poverty, yet it abounded to the riches of their liberality. These things don't seem to go together. Deep poverty, oh, but they were givers. Great trial of affliction, oh, but they had an abundance of joy. Now, they first gave themselves, the scripture says, to the Lord. They first gave themselves. Refreshers are investors. Refreshers are people who give themselves. They give their time. They give their resources. They give their emotional strength to other people. Now, you can sow into people's lives. This is the exciting thing I think about life. By the way, whatever good thing you do for somebody else, God said he'll do it for you. Check it out in Ephesians chapter 6. What knowing that whatever good thing you do for somebody else, the Lord will do for you. So if you need some encouragement, go pour some encouragement on somebody else. If you're broke, try to help somebody else. If you don't have any money, just do something for them. I mean, sow into people's lives. You can help people when they're sick, when they're out of work, when they've had a tragedy. I was preaching up in Belleville, West Virginia. How many know that people in Belleville, West Virginia are not phlegmatic Republicans by and large? I mean, you know that. These are hill people. There's a Church of God atmosphere here going on. And there was this Granny Carpenter. Old Granny, she was 89, lived with a 91-year-old drunk. The house they lived in, you wouldn't put your pet in. Never had anything. But Granny lived with an alcoholic in the most poverty-stricken place you've ever seen in your life, and she was probably the happiest person I've ever met in my entire life. Granny didn't have any questions. Jesus was enough. God was good, and everything's good in the Father's house. I mean, wow. Every night she'd come to church, she'd bring me a gift. One night she brought me a comb. Like, not one of those good ones. A comb. I don't know if the teeth were still in it or not, but she brought me this comb. One night she brought me a little lantern like you get at the carnival, you know, China made junk. But you know what? That meant more to me than porcelain or silver or a gold ring. I'd rather have that from her than a Rolex from a millionaire dude. Why? Because that was her way of showing her appreciation. Every night she'd come, she'd give me something. Oh, Granny, she didn't know anybody better than to speak up in church. Praise God. I mean, when you're 90 years old and you've been through what she's been through, you can say anything. You can get away with anything. Is that right, Tim? I mean, talk to me in private. I'll tell you a hilarious story. If this wasn't Sunday morning, I might tell it, but I can't tell it right here. But anyhow, she was an investor, and she sowed into people. Now, you need to listen to God in the matter of giving to meet the needs of others. Listen to this one. Paul said in Corinthians, I'm glad at the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaeus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. Now listen to this, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Hear these guys coming to the rescue and refreshing people. Winston Churchill said, we make a living by what we get. We make a life by what we give. When you're out at the restaurant and you see somebody sitting over there, look like they're down on their luck, just say to the waitress, hey, come here. Hey, I want to take care of that person's bill. And just tell them a friend wanted to buy them lunch. So here's some guy over there, looks like he's having a rough go. Or here's some grandmother of a different race. And just and maybe nobody showed these people a lot of favor. How many of you know there's a lot of folks that never get shown any favor? Man, I've been shown favor left and right all over the place. So, by the way, if you're going to buy somebody else's lunch, ask the waitress, what's the biggest tip you've ever got? And then outdo it, unless it's one like April got of $1,000, all right? Okay? And just bless people, just so into people. You know, if a cup of cold water gets a dent in heaven, last year I bought all the guys who came to the prayer advance, 800 bottles of water. Man, I can give more than a cup. I can give 800 bottles. I think this year I'm going for 1,600 bottles. Serious. I'm serious. Don't you understand that what you do here, it gets a reward there? We can sow, man. We can be generous givers. You say, well, I don't have a whole lot. Well, use what you got. I mean, just be sensitive in giving to refresh people. What about this one? Being filled with the Spirit is a way to be a refresher. What does that mean? Keep your repentance current. Walk in the light you've got. God is love, and when we're filled with His Spirit, we are too. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Duncan Campbell said the greatest thing about a man is his unconscious influence. The greatest thing about a person is their unconscious influence. I'm telling you, when you're full up with the Spirit of God, you are a living fountain of spiritual life and energy, and you're helping people whether you realize it or not. Let me give you this one right here real quick. This is not on the list, but if you want to be a refresher, you can pray for other people. Praying for people. Praying with people. Paul said he was grateful for the believers striving together with him in prayer. Striving together with him in prayer. J.M. Adore said when God sets about to do a new thing, he always sets his people praying. You know, intercession is praying for somebody else as if they were us. Intercession is praying for somebody else as if they were us. Intercession is pleading on behalf of other people. And I want to tell you that heartfelt prayer refreshes people. Faith-filled prayer refreshes people. You can pray for them. You can pray with them. You know, I've never been turned down, I don't think, when I ask somebody if I could pray for them. I can't ever think of a case. So when somebody pours out some malady, just say, hey, would it be all right if we just stop right here and pray? Right in the restaurant, man. Right with the steward waitress. So wherever you happen to be, it doesn't make any difference. We're down at the cancer treatment center, and here comes this black guy who looks like he's got cancer. How many know the cancer look? Huh? How many know that people with black skin can even have ashen look? Right? So I spotted this guy, and I said, we're trying to unload right in the front door. I said, hey man, are you here at the treatment center? Yeah. Well, what do you got? Well, he's got this. Oh, really? I said, hey, how about if we just have a little word of prayer right here? That'd be all right. Yeah, oh yeah, that'd be good. Takes off the hat, you know. Wife, my wife, his wife, him, here we are, having a prayer meeting, congesting the doorway at the Town Place Suites. You know, just pray for people. And then, if God burns your heart, just go get $100 out of your wallet that you're just going to go out to Connor's and just slip it to him. Amen? Just, hey, brother, hey, how about this? How many of you know that praying for people helps people? How many of you know that praying with people encourages people? If you pray the prayer of faith, that's just so important. Now, listen, people are looking for somebody to help them overcome their fears. Well, Christians ought not to have fears. Well, yeah, but what if they do? I have a friend, he, godly guy. They told him he was in the hospital, and they told him he was eat up with cancer and was going to die, like, right away. And Debbie and I went to see him. He's a friend. And he told me the story, but you know what he said? He said, I was at peace. What? When they told him that he was going to die, like, momentarily, he said, Harold, I settled that years ago. I said, preacher, you ready? You good to go? He said, I'm good to go. Wow. Praise God. How many know not everybody feels like that? Okay? So we need to help people to overcome their fears, to believe in them, to care for them. Now, churches that care for one another and serve one another are communities of encouragement. Are communities of encouragement. Now, I know a church that, a very committed church, and the pastor trained a person, and he trained about 50 people to have a care ministry. A care ministry. So, when anybody would come into the auditorium and they looked burdened or looked troubled, they were trained to go up to them and say, hey, is there anything I can pray with you about? Anything I could pray with you about right here? And then they'd pray over them right there on the spot. They trained them to invite the visitors out for lunch, to invite them into their home. And all they did was New Testament Christianity and practiced the one another commands, and the church went from 400 to 800, and the only thing they did different was practice New Testament Christianity. Amazing. Now, prepare a mental list every morning like this. Lord, who should I encourage today? He'll always give you at least two right off the bat. Lord, who should I encourage today? Lord, how should I encourage? A text? A call? A prayer? A visit? A gift? A card? Be passionate about your daily assignment. How many know you'd be better off trying to help somebody else instead of sitting around sulking over how bad you got it? How many know that however bad you got it, somebody's got it worse? How many know that Paul considered his problems to be light afflictions? Wow, what a perspective. Now, Philemon refreshed the saints, and so should we. Listen, you're shown mercy to show mercy. You are blessed to bless. You are graced to grace. You are lifted to lift. You are given peace to spread it. So purpose to inspire other people. You know what I sense? If you want to get some inspiration and hope and encouragement, you pretty much got to go out of our camp. And there's something wrong with that right there. There's something mighty wrong with that right there. I'm telling you, brother, it's still time to dream a dream. Praise God. Still time to, you know, believe God for something you've never seen heretofore. Your dreams ought to be bigger than your memories. Your dreams ought to be bigger than you. And Rick, if we're going to die, let's go out singing instead of sinning. Amen. If we're going to go out, let's go out shouting instead of sighing. Amen. I mean, no matter what. Let's just purpose to inspire people to great things, brother. And by the way, you got to inspire yourself, because nobody's going to tell you what you need to hear but you. You better learn to talk to yourself like David, who said, why are you cast down, O my soul? What is wrong? He was talking to himself. What is wrong with you? And then he said, I will yet praise him who is the help of my countenance. I got to get out of this pit. And I want to tell you sometimes, brother, if you're in a pit, get up. I was in Cancun, Mexico, 3-4 years ago. Can't remember. When you're in a pit, your memory fades. And I was in Cancun, Mexico. Debbie went out to the beach. Of course, she never gets in the water. She just sits under the umbrella. But she got left the room. I went and locked the door. Made sure nobody was in there but me. I went to the bathroom and got in front of the mirror. And I prophesied to Harold. Now, if you think my preaching is strong to other people, you should have heard what I said to me. And I said, what are you doing, moaning, moping, mourning? What are you doing sitting around in this pit? Get up. Get up. You say, well, you're crazy. Praise God, I got up and got out. I just get up. Get up. In Jesus' name, get up. I wrote it on the thing, put it on the Facebook. Had 300 shares on that particular quote. Because let me tell you something. There comes a point in life when you're down and you're either going to... Listen, and quit. Instead of concentrating and worrying about your demise, why don't you just thank God you're still alive? Charlie Brown and Snoopy were on top of the doghouse, and old Charlie Brown and... typical fashion said, Snoopy, one day we're all going to die. And old Snoopy said, yeah, but until then, all the other days we're going to live. Now, I just want to now make an announcement here this morning. Praise God. We're still here. Hallelujah. God's still with us. Amen. The blood still cleanses from sin. And you might be down, but you don't have to stay down. If you ever had a setback, you need to come back. And in Jesus' name, get up and get yourself some pictures on your wall. Like, I got up there, joy. I got peace. I got written up there, get up. I put it up there, get up. And every morning I get in my chair and go out of my sunroom. I look at that thing, get up. Get up. You've got too much to live for. Quit preparing to die, man. Start preparing to live. And listen, with that kind of an attitude and that kind of a spirit, you'll refresh yourself. You can stay refreshed, and then you can be a help and a blessing to other people. Now, I want you to think about this. Look for reasons to praise people. Motivate people to meaningful goals. Speak hope and speak faith into people's lives. I want you to think about the people who lift you up. How many you got somebody that when you get around them, they help you? You know what I'm talking about? Think about the people that fire you up. Think about the people that lift you up. And just think about those kind of people. They're refreshing, aren't they? Be one of those people. And whatever they do for you, you turn around and do that for somebody else. And I'll tell you what, you can have a ministry of refreshment. Now, how many here this morning know somebody? You know somebody who needs refreshment because they're going through a hard time. How many know somebody that needs refreshment? How many are going to do something for that person that you just lifted your hand about? Put your hand back up. All right. Now, encourage them. Text them. Call them. Visit them. Gift them. Do something nice. I mean, just, Lord, pray for them. But just ask God what he wants you to do. Now, a ministry of refreshment. How many know that getting in contact with God in prayer is a refreshing thing? I ain't talking about saying prayers. I ain't talking about the duty of prayer. I'm not talking about the burden of prayer. I'm not talking about the drudgery of prayer. I'm talking about the joy of communicating with God under an open heaven. I had to go walk last night, brother. I have to do this all the time. I had to get out on the sidewalk and walk down the street and clear it out with God. Okay? Clear out my soul with God. And then take a faith stand. I want to give you one more thing instead of preaching every sermon this morning. I'm just going to give you one more thing. And that's this. Confess your sin to God one time. One time. Never mention it again. One time. If there's anything, one time. And then immediately take off in praise. Take off in thanksgiving. Take off in intercession. Don't dwell on your weakness. Focus on God's goodness. His mercies are fresh every morning. He can refresh us. We can refresh other people. And isn't that a blessing, the ministry of refreshment? Now I want to encourage you to take and refresh that person that's on your heart before you come back tonight if you can. And then maybe you're here this morning and you need a spirit of refreshing yourself. Well, we'll pray with you. We'll believe God for you. We'll listen to you. We'll talk to you. I mean, whatever it is this morning, let's thank God for the ministry of refreshment. If Jesus could minister to a dying thief on a cross while he was suffering the torments of the damned, not to mention the mental, emotional, and physical anguish, much less the spiritual, if he could minister to a guy on the cross when he was in that horrible position, I mean, no, we're not that bad off yet. Amen.